Part 6. Eureka, the La Dorada. Chapter 75. November 8, 1989. Washington, D.C. Martin Brogan walked into the early morning cabinet meeting late. The president and the men seated around the large kidney-shaped table looked up expectantly. The ships were detonated 4 hours ahead of schedule, he informed them while still standing. His announcement was greeted with solemn silence. Every man at the table had been told of the unbelievable plan by the Soviets to remove Castro, and the news struck them more as an inevitable tragedy than a shocking catastrophe. "What are the latest reports on loss of life?" asked Douglas Oates. "Too early to tell," replied Brogan. "The whole harbor area is in flames. The deaths could conceivably total in the thousands. The devastation, however, is not nearly as severe as we first projected. It appears our agents in Havana seized two of the ships and sailed them out of the harbor before they exploded." As they listened in contemplative quiet, Brogan read from the initial reports sent from the special interest section in Havana. He recounted the details of the plan to move the ships and the sketchy details of the actual operation. Before he had finished, one of his aides entered and slipped him an updated report. He scanned it silently and then read the first line. "Fidel and Raúl Castro are alive." He paused to gaze at the president. "Your man, Ira Hagen, says he is in direct contact with the Castros, and they have requested any assistance we can offer in the way of disaster relief, including medical personnel and supplies, firefighting equipment, food and clothing, and also morgue and embalming experts." The president looked at General Clayton Metcalf, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. "General, after your call last night, I alerted Air Transport Command. We can begin the airlift as soon as the people and supplies arrive at the airfields and are loaded on board. Any approach by American military aircraft had better be coordinated, or the Cubans will cut loose with their surface-to-air missiles," pointed out Secretary of Defense Simmons.
"I'll see to it a line of communication is opened with their foreign ministry," said Secretary of State Oates.
"Better make it clear to Castro that any relief we send is organized under the umbrella of the Red Cross," added Dan Fawcett. "We don't want to scare him into slamming the door."
"An angle we can't overlook," said the president. "Almost a crime to take advantage of a terrible disaster," mused Oates. "Still, we can't deny it's a heaven-sent opportunity to cement relations with Cuba and diffuse revolutionary fever throughout the Americas."
"I wonder if Castro has ever studied Simón Bolívar," the president asked no one in particular.
"The great liberator of South America is one of Castro's idols," replied Brogan. "Why do you ask?"
"Then perhaps he's finally heeded one of Bolívar's quotations."
"Which quotation is that, Mr. President?" The president looked from face to face around the table before answering. "He who serves a revolution plows the sea."